Lowe's.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Come home to Clemson. While the students are on spring break, join the Clemson Alumni Association for the second annual Alumni Spring Break. Beginning Friday, March 24th, join fellow alumni and friends for fun, campus tours, golf, and live music at Clemson's Alumni Spring Break. You walked across campus during your years as a student, but you won't believe how much it's changed. See the growth around campus with various campus tours, walk inside both new and historic facilities. Head downtown Friday night to a closed College Avenue playing host to a concert and block party beginning with a Clemson fave, Craven Mellon, and then the legendary Driving and Crying. Take part in the alumni golf gathering at the Walker Course and spend time on campus and in town like you did as a student. The second annual Clemson Alumni Spring Break, beginning Friday, March 24th at your home away from home, Clemson. For registration information, go to alumni.clemson.edu/alumni spring break. That's alumni.clemson.edu/alumni spring break. Alumni Spring Break, starting Friday, March 24th. Go Tigers!
Your sports, your hosts, your station.
Second touchdown of the night. Got a little crease in between the tackles. Boy, does this kid look good.
105.5, 97.5. We're the Roar, baby.
Number two, Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush and Ben Milstead live. Look at USC coming from behind to tie the game at 34 apiece. Maybe, you know, I thought the body clock thing was legit, Ben. One thing that I sometimes forget is that it's possible to wake up, and you're probably a little more awake at 10:30 than you were at 9:30, and more awake at 11:30 than you were at 10:30. And so maybe USC is doing that, but Michigan State, who was up 9 early in the game, is now in a dogfight with USC. And you said it was not looking good for Kennesaw, but they're within 6 with 10.5 minutes left in the first half. So it's possible that all is well here. It's possible that everything's hunky-dory for you, taking those points with Kennesaw. We'll talk about Baylor and UCSB, VCU, St. Mary's, and the rest of the games coming up in a little bit. Back to this Tony Bennett thing, though. You said you wanted to think out loud some, and now I'm just very curious where you want to go with this.
Well, I'm just wondering, okay, so they're almost always the higher seed. He's been the number one seed, 1, 2, 3, 4 times since he's been at Virginia. Was a 10 seed in 2012, but, you know, basically a high seed. So if you were going into a game where you're a certain underdog, chances are your opponent has better athletes, more experience, better across the board. Are you going to try to speed that team up, or are you going to try to slow that team down? It seems to me like you're going to try to limit possessions. Well, that's exactly what Virginia wants you. That's like where they're comfortable. I don't know. That all sounded better in my head.
Earlier. But I think that's a good point because I think what
you're playing, the opponent is playing a style that they are comfortable playing, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
Whereas you go into an ACC game, you know, like a North Carolina, Virginia, for instance, like it doesn't matter who North Carolina's playing. They're going to try to speed you up. And if they can't, then maybe Clemson tried to speed them up this year.
Right.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't really do it. A lot of you follow me?
Yes, I think I'm gonna say it like this because I was thinking about it in relation to like Oliver Purnell at Clemson. Now it's to a different degree, but Clemson won a lot of games when Oliver Purnell was there. They played in an ACC championship game. They were routinely, it was like 3 years. They were upper third of the league. And they were a better seed in 3 consecutive NCAA tournaments. and they lost them all. And here's what I think happens sometimes in tournaments, especially contrasting it with what happens in November. If I'm playing a team in November, and we know this to be true, if I'm playing a team in November, I'm still trying to coach my team. I'm still trying to figure out my team. So there are certain things that I'm comfortable doing to beat this one team, but I'm not going to take my eye off the prize of still developing an identity of what is going to help me win the most games long term. So I would say there are very few teams early in seasons, in terms of non-conference, early in seasons that are going to just radically change who they are to go beat Virginia. And to do something extreme to counter them. But you might be willing to do that in March. Like, I haven't charted all of Furman's possessions. I have watched them some. I don't recall that 1-3-1. Maybe they played it some. Maybe they played it not at all. Maybe they played it more than I realized. I don't recall seeing that 1-3-1 zone that they threw out against Virginia yesterday.
No, me either.
That is the mark of a team that was willing to literally do anything extreme because Virginia encourages you to do an extreme thing. Clemson, the way they played under Oliver Purnell with the diamond press and the 94 feet of pressure, it was extreme. In November, you're just trying to figure out how to beat pressure. You're trying to learn some stuff about your team. December, you're trying to learn some stuff about your team. In March, I lose this game, I'm going home. Who cares about my team now? My team's good enough. We're going to do whatever it takes to beat that press. And so we're going to do something crazy because they're playing in a way that's crazy. And I think that has something to do with it. It's also true that when they lost to UMBC back in 2019?
19, they won the national championship.
That's right. When they lost to UMBC, they didn't have DeAndre Hunter. So there's an injury factor there, too. And Virginia, we know this, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts with Virginia. You take one of the parts out, though, especially a starter and a main part, and that whole gets fractured. They require each other. In a way that very few teams, I think, do. Now, again, I'm not saying that, you know, that every other team is able to withstand an injury except Virginia and they should be able to figure, like, you should still be able to figure it out to beat teams that you're significantly better than. Although I kind of think that was more true of, like, Ohio and UMBC than Furman, who I think everybody thought could play with Virginia. To me, though, Ben, all of these factors are a little bit different. They're a little bit different. Like, UMBC made 12 threes against them, and Virginia went 4 of 22. So it took a team shooting 50% and you shooting, like, 18% from three to lose that game. Yesterday, you look at Furman. Now, again, this Virginia team was not a great shoot. Like, they were not a great offensive team regardless. They were 2 of 12 from three yesterday. Furman made 10 threes. You know you're going to have to make threes. And so if you're a coach that's going up against Virginia, you got to do everything in your power to make 10 threes. And you got to do everything in your power to make sure they don't make threes. And you just hope the math works out for you in the end. And it might not, but it did for Furman yesterday. It did. It almost didn't, but it did. And it did for Ohio, and it did for UMBC. And sometimes, again, if you're a team in the ACC playing them in January, There are certain things that you're not willing to do. I talk to coaches about this all the time. One thing that I get intrigued by talking to coaches throughout seasons, and especially basketball coaches. Like, I sit down with Amanda Butler twice a week during the basketball season. And one thing we talk about on a routine basis is, like, how is the team improving? What have we discovered about ourselves? She uses that process of, or that language of discovery. What have we discovered about ourselves? As you're discovering, like I said, you want to stay on that path of discovery. You can't afford to wander to have a one-off game plan to go beat some team. You have to do what you know you can do to win and maybe try to get a little bit better at that and a little bit better at that and a little bit broader, but you're not going to do something crazy. Furman did something crazy against Virginia yesterday. Other teams are willing to do crazy stuff. Northern Kentucky did some wild. They took like 40 threes last night against Houston. They did some crazy stuff to try to pull an upset that you wouldn't do if you're playing that game in November. I know I'm saying a lot of words. I just want to make sure I'm pounding this point home that Virginia wins a lot of games, and there's a reason why perhaps an extreme way of playing does not work in March. And it has more to do with the way that teams prepare for extremes in March as opposed to the way they prepare for extremes in November and December. Text from 864 says, great point. Bennett's who he is and should not change. Still very successful. Just like Dabo does what he does, he's highly successful, even though he didn't make the playoffs the last 2 years. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be making tweaks. It doesn't mean that Virginia shouldn't be tweaking. Like, I would not be satisfied with, well, we won a bunch of games in the regular season and we keep getting bounced by double-digit seeds. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't mean that Tony Bennett sucks as a coach because the other 26 games he wins every year don't matter if he loses the first one in the NCAA tournament.
You know, I said it, I don't understand how ACC coaches don't have more success against him because they see him twice a year in most cases. The opposite is also true. Tony Bennett sees them once or twice a year. And maybe that's the difference, that he doesn't know what to expect. To your point, you know, Furman threw something at them yesterday that I don't recall other teams in the conference doing to them, and I don't recall Furman doing that to other teams. I didn't watch a whole lot of Furman basketball, admittedly, this year, but I don't think that was a staple of what they do defensively. So maybe it was more a matter of Bennett not being able to scout his opponent than the opponent scouting them. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, it's still puzzling how teams like Ohio and Furman can figure out a way to beat those guys in one attempt, and so many ACC schools cannot. Big picture, I stand by what I said. I don't think it has anything whatsoever to do with Bennett's legacy or anything like that. It's unfortunate. It shouldn't happen, but it does, and I would, as most teams in America would say, would gladly take that postseason over just about anybody's.
Oh, for sure. Now, Tim Beret also texts me, and this is a really good point. Tony Bennett addressed what we're talking about here in his postgame comments. He said that Furman used a 1-3-1 in 0.6% of their defensive possessions this year.
How about that?
0.6%. You get to the end, you're willing to do something crazy to win a game. And when building your team and discovering your team is the goal, you're not always willing to do something crazy, either by overloading the math with a bunch of threes or by changing your defense or whatever. And Virginia is going to be who they are. Virginia's not going to do anything crazy because they're kind of crazy to begin with. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit nuts to begin with what
crazy
they're trying to do on
the
both
norm.
Ends. That's right. And it's like what Clemson was defensively under Oliver Purnell. It was crazy all the time. That's who they were.
Well, you know, again, just continue to kind of think through this. You think about some of the situations this year with Clemson where, I mean, Clemson is a man-to-man defensive team. They don't change from that. But occasionally they do. They did at Pittsburgh. And they went to an inverted zone. And Pitt, it's what won you the game. Pitt wasn't expecting it. That's happened a couple times where, you know, when you pick up in full court pressure a couple of times, it's not really what Clemson does, but when they do it, it hasn't been scouted and teams aren't ready for it. You know, when you zoned Syracuse for a little bit, like, they were like, what do we do? You know?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
I think we would agree that Tony Bennett's a great coach. Like, does anybody not think Tony Bennett's a great coach? Because he sometimes gets bounced in the first round of the tournament.
Well, you got a couple of national columnists that are writing stupid stuff today. I mean, I'm sorry. Pat Forty wrote a column today that's just dumb.
Let me.
And I think he's a great writer. That's just dumb.
Let me read some of this. This is in SportsIllustrated.com today. Virginia's upset, Pat Forty. Virginia's upset loss to Furman further proves 2019 national title was a fluke. Now, I'm going to say statistically he's not wrong. But I think the framing is what is off here. He talks about how Kihei Clark basically, like, he made a couple big plays in their tournament run in 19 when they won the title. And so the basketball gods giveth and taketh away. That's sort of the idea there. It says, the Cavaliers' blissful NCAA tournament championship run 4 years ago continues to be a blip, a fluke, a one-time reversal of fortune. A title is forever, but it's also not indicative of what Virginia basketball really is. And this is where I think people miss it. And this is where I think 40 is missing it. Here's what Virginia basketball is. I don't know why I'm becoming a full-throated apologist for Virginia basketball. I really feel like I'm having an out-of-body experience. Here's what Virginia basketball is. Virginia basketball is 6 ACC regular season titles in a decade. 3 ACC tournament titles in a decade. Multiple number one seeds based on a 4-month body of work. That's who they are. They are not losses to Ohio. They are not losses to Furman. They are not losses to UMBC. That's not who they are. Just like, honestly, they're not a bunch of really close wins in 2019. That's not who they are. Just like they shouldn't be defined by one run through a tournament one time, they should be defined more by what they consistently do. They should not be defined by these one-off losses either. They weren't defined by, well, history will define them by a 116 loss. Sure. History won't remember that Furman beat them, I don't think. History won't. Furman will, for sure. But, like, history won't. History won't remember that Ohio beat them because we see 413 and 512 and those types of losses all the time. But I do think that history will remember Tony Bennett as a guy who had a bunch of really good seasons and a bunch of really good basketball teams. And that's where, like, we could keep reading this story. There's a lot of words on this. This is the final paragraph. It was a sight the Cavaliers are accustomed to, watching the underdog sprinting around the court enjoy as their season comes to a quick and inglorious ending. Bennett should thank that 2019 team every day for making the plays that have kept him from being a complete March bust. That's all he's got. And again, I'm not so worried about framing this as it was a fluke, because maybe it was. I would say most championships are flukes. Most championships take a bounce of the ball or things going your way that aren't related to anything you're doing. You got to get breaks along the way. If you're talking about that being a fluke, by all means, go ahead.
Well, I think he means in this case, though, I don't like the use of the term fluke. Fluke as if that you're a flash in the pan type of team that, you know, you just got lucky this one time, and you've been a bad team all the other times. That's not who Virginia is. I also agree with you, though. Like, there's a flukish element. You've got to have an element of luck and injuries and all that stuff, all of that to win a championship in anything. And I mean, all that together, you could say, well, it's kind of flukish. I think 40 is saying, like, that 1 year, that 2019 year, was a fluke for them. And that's what I just think is nuts.
Yeah,
it's not a flukish year.
I mean, it's silly. Even though, as I said, it's the only time that he's ever overachieved what was expected of him in a tournament. Even though that's the case, I don't think, like you said, I think fluke is dismissive of what it takes to actually do that. And furthermore, they are not defined by what happens one time every year. Think about how silly that is, to define a season by what happens one game out of 30-something every single year. What about the other 30-some games where you're also playing teams that go to the NCAA tournament and you're beating them all and you're winning a power league and you're getting a one seed and you're winning tournament championships? That's silly. It's absolutely nuts. 654-ROAR is the number you want to join us on the phones or on the Adams Curving text line. Michigan State and USC are coming back. We've got Kennesaw State, Xavier updates. We'll get more analysis of some of the games yesterday and some more picks after this.
Check out the Press Box with Brad and John every weekday morning from 9 to noon here on The Roar. Brad and John will get you caught up on all things college football, from Group of Five to Power Five, Clemson football, coaching carousel, and more. Brad and John also keep you up to date with everything in college athletics, as well as the Atlanta Braves. Check it out each morning on 105.5 and 97.5 FM or tune in on our app or website, theroarfm.com.
Carolina Direct Furniture, passing savings directly to their customers. Don't let Carolina Direct's warehouse fool you. It's stocked and ready for you. Bedroom, dining, sofas, rugs, lamps, mattresses, and more. They are a locally owned family store that operates with a low overhead to present you with the savings you deserve. Find them in Greer, where Pelham and Highway 14 connect, and they will connect you with the furniture and mattresses of your dreams. Check them out online at carolinadirect.com. Mention the Roar for an extra 5% discount.
Are you searching for a newer vehicle or maybe just want to drive something different? AutoWorks has what you're looking for and two locations to serve you. With just $500 down, you could be driving home in your newer vehicle. We have many financing options, including in-house financing. Visit us in Greer at 816 West Whittington Boulevard or in Spartanburg at 385 East Blackstock Road. Call or text 864-655-7555 or view all of our inventory at AutoWorksSC.com. That's AutoWorksSC.com.
This is for the men who never settle, the ones who miss the fairway all day and still pull out the big stick, the type of guys who will always prefer to be behind the grill than in front of the camera, and the men who never let their friends forget about a high school nickname. This is the Lodge Mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Who wants to settle for a single TV? With more TVs, bigger screens, plus our fabulous scenic views, there's more to watch at Twin Peaks.
How would you like to drive a new car with no payments for 3 full months? That's exactly what you can do when your car loan is with State Credit Union. Visit one of their 19 branches or their website for details. Apply for your new car loan online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. Offer not available for internal refinances. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by the NCUA.
If you've fallen out of love with your home, maybe you just need a refresh. Contact CertaPro Painters and we'll put the power of pro to work for you. That's CertaPro's power to transform living rooms and rejuvenate kitchens. The power to get the job done right, on time, and within your budget. Get that lovin' feeling back with the help of CertaPro Painters. Start your project at CertaPro.com. The power of pro. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated.
It's time to lighten up the mood and update your sock collection with Clemson Sock Shop. Our socks are conversation starters, make great gifts, and enhance any outfit. We have exclusive Clemson socks, socks with your favorite sports team, witty puns, and more. Do you love popcorn? How about 80s and 90s nostalgia? SpongeBob? We have a sock for that and so much more. Shop local at Clemson Sock Shop Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays until 4 inside Newtique Boutique on Pendleton Square. Buy five, get one free. Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet.
Outstanding customer service and incredible prices, along with special requests. See why Anderson Beverage Outlet knocks it out of the park with their customer reviews. They're your go-to destination for wine, beer, and spirits, offering 3% savings for law enforcement, healthcare, and military professionals. Score a grand slam with their customer appreciation program. Anderson Beverage Outlet, your home team for adult beverages. 140 Commons Parkway, Anderson, in front of Lowe's and Target.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The undisputed sports talk leader for the upstate.
Let's go now, you murder!
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Have you with us. 654-ROAR is the number if you like to join us on the phones or on the Adams Irving text line as we're talking ball, we're talking games here today. The second day of the first round, the NCAA men's basketball tournament in full swing. USC and Michigan State tied at 38 at the moment. How about Kennesaw State up 4, Ben?
Are they?
38-34 right now with 2:20 to go in the first half. Kennesaw has come roaring back to take the lead on Xavier, and you got to be excited if you're Kennesaw, because as I said, this is a program that probably for a lot of folks had the just happy to be here vibe. As they don't go to the tournament. They were, you know, they've been kind of the dregs of Division I as long as they've been up there in basketball. And lo and behold, Amir Abdur-Rahim is doing a phenomenal job. They're going to drop 40+ and a half against Xavier. Again, a team with some defensive struggles, but that's a team that played a rigorous Big East schedule and a team that has been battle-tested, that has significant players, some very, very good shooters, very, very good scorers, and Kennesaw State with a four-point lead at the half. So two really good games. Ben, I was looking at our Roar Bracket Challenge, and a couple things I want to point out. Shout out to Seminole Ted and A to the C, who were tied for first right now. The only game they missed yesterday was Arizona. So they got 15 right.
That's strong.
That's a great day. Only a handful of people got 14. Our guy John Height was 14.
John Height.
I think there were 18 contestants that had 14. And that's great. I don't want to dismiss that. I'm more interested in the carnage, though. I love carnage, Ben.
So you scroll to the bottom right away?
Yes.
What do we have down at the bottom? Who's worse?
I can't go past. I think they only show like the top 500 in ties.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know the exact worst.
There's about 1,500 in the contest.
That's right. So I was frustrated by that. But I did go to the pie charts, Ben, and I did look at who picked whom, and I did look at who lost national champions, who lost Final Fours. Now, I will say that we did not have a significant number of people that lost their national champion yesterday.
Terrence Oglesby had Arizona going far. I don't know. I think he had him in the national championship.
I think he may have. I need to look back at his bracket, but I think he may have. Ben, would you care to guess what percentage of our contestants had either Arizona or Virginia in the Final Four? And I'm going to set this up by saying Alabama was the only team in our contest that got a majority of Final Four picks in their region. Like the favorites in the other regions, Duke got 33.7%, Houston got 48.8%, Kansas got 35.4%, Alabama got 62.9%. Okay. What percentage of our of people lost those two teams and thereby lost a Final Four participant, do you think?
18%.
I think that probably is what I would think. Would you believe it's 28.7% lost a Final Four? That's just those.
So you feel like it's pretty much over before it ever begins for you. I've been there. I feel your pain.
I know a lot of folks have Virginia as a national champion when they lost to a 16. I've lost a national champion the first day before. So I get that. Text from 864 says, I had Arizona. Done.
Well, you pick Indiana every year.
Well, it's true. Problem. Oh, we're getting there now. We are getting there. The other games where there was carnage yesterday, just who picked whom, 56.6% of people picked West Virginia, so that was a loss. 78.8% of brackets had Virginia. 57.1% of brackets had Texas A&M, so that was essentially a coin flip there. Ben, 99% of people had Arizona. Now, I want to read you this statement by Myron Metcalf from ESPN. And then I want to give you a couple of facts about Arizona, okay? This is going to be similar to the Tony Bennett conversation in that you're going to have to be real careful to hear what I'm saying. Myron Metcalf says this, I hate to sound like a high school coach, but where was the effort in the last 10 minutes of the game? In the last 10 minutes, I think Princeton outscored Arizona 18-6 to win the game. They were down. Mm-hmm. It was like a 10-point game or an 8-point game with 10 minutes left, and they lost the lead. Arizona played with arrogance, and that's always dangerous. They led by double digits at the 11-minute mark, but as Tosin, I'm not even going to begin to say that last name, and company rallied, The Wildcats seemed shocked and never properly responded. It was kind of like what I talked about with Clemson and what we've seen with some other teams, that at the point where you feel the game slipping away, if you're not mentally engaged at that point, you go from concern to panic. You just skip over concern and you just flat out panic. That's what Arizona did. Princeton slowed the game down. You look at some of the statistical actualities of the game, the way the game was contested yesterday, the Arizona-Princeton game. It is hard to pinpoint what happened. It's not hard to see how Virginia lost to Furman, because Furman made 10 threes and Virginia missed free throws down the stretch. It ain't hard. Ben, what if I told you Princeton upset Arizona as a 15 seed and they were 4 for 25 from 3 and shot 5 free throws? Mm.
You would say there's no way. That statistically, that doesn't even sound possible.
No. What if I told you they turned it over 11 times and had 9 assists? They had a negative assist to turnover ratio. They shot 16% from 3. They took 5 free throws. Now, Arizona also was 3 of 16 from 3. They only took 7 free throws. And they had 10 assists to 13 turnovers. Actually, it was quintessential, this is bad Arizona. This is why you don't trust Arizona. Because Kirk Creasa had 3 points and 4 turnovers. And as well as Tubelis, who's a very good big, he had 22 points, but he had 5 rebounds and 6 turnovers in the game. Those two guys had the ball in their hands a lot, and they gave it up a lot. And Princeton did a really good job defensively against them. This was a wild 15-over-2 upset, because you can't look at, oh, man, they did this amazing, or, oh, Arizona was lousy at this other thing. They just flat-out beat them. They beat them by 4. And did you see the post-game locker room where, like, the coach goes in the locker room and he's like, hey, you know, great win, guys. Way to go. And they're all like, okay, next job. Like, what? Your school hasn't won a game in a quarter century in the tournament.
They acted as if they were supposed to win the game.
They did. They acted like a team that was like, oh, yep. Like, you just beat Brown on a Friday. That's what they acted like. They acted like they beat Harvard in the middle of final exams or whatever. I can't even describe. I was like, you guys are more excited about this? Like, you guys held Arizona, who scores 80 on everybody, you held them to 55? You're not more excited? You came back from double digits down with 11 minutes left. You're not more excited about it? They weren't. They were not more excited about it. And it adds to the frustration in my brain of trying to wrap my mind around what actually happened in that game. Ben, I can't make heads or tails of any of that.
It was an unusual one, for sure.
Very unusual. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about Duke Oral Roberts. You know, Duke is quickly becoming the trendy pick, maybe to win it all. The dark horse. I mean, Duke being a dark horse, that's funny. But Duke being the dark horse to win it all. And a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon, and I get it. I mean, they're playing. Heard someone on television yesterday say, if you were seeding teams the way that they're playing down the stretch, you know, Duke's like a 1 or 2 seed. It's unfortunate for Oral Roberts to get that matchup. Duke played very well, but did you see all that was going on with Kyle Filipowski? He had what they called just nerves, and to the point that he got sick. He had some stomach issues, but was over a trash can at one point before the game. And apparently that didn't even get better at halftime. It surprised me because he has played so well down the stretch here. Is there any concern at all? You know, and I don't, let me pull this up. I know early on he was struggling yesterday. And let's see, he ended up with 6 points is all in the game. You get deeper into this tournament, you have to have the normal Kyle Filipowski, not the 6-point a game kill, you know, player. Is that a concern at all going forward for you?
Yes. And the only reason I say that is because I thought Oral Roberts was such a bad matchup for Duke. I should have just laid the points. But I like Oral Roberts so much. It was almost like I was doing him a favor not laying the 6 or 5.5 or whatever it was when we left the studio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to overwhelm Oral Roberts with just sheer mass of person. Just arm length was the reason. You're not going to be able to do that with Purdue. I don't think it's going to matter. You're not going to be able to do that with Tennessee, but it's not going to matter. Have you seen Tennessee's guards? Yeah. That is bad. That was rough watching them try to run offense last night. Rougher than usual. I think they're getting to the Sweet 16 regardless. But at that point, Ben, to your point, if you're going to beat Purdue, you need Filipowski to be able to out-duel Zach Edey.
Yeah, and you know, and at first when I heard that at the beginning of the game, I was like, well, that's actually kind of cool that he's so uptight about the tournament. I mean, he's so excited about it that he gets sick. You know, there's actually something that's kind of endearing about that. But then when he didn't get any better in the second half and they were talking about him in the locker room at halftime, you know, maybe it wasn't just nerves, but that's what they said it was. You know, you think that a player would get out, kind of get past that after the game started, and doesn't sound like he did. Maybe he will in the next one.
I am a little concerned about that with Duke. I will admit it. Another thing that I'm concerned about is Houston. Ben, I think Houston's in trouble. And it doesn't have anything to do with Northern Kentucky. It's a team that's defense first. Sound familiar? We just talked about defense first team. Now, they don't do anything crazy like Virginia with the pack line and their offensive system. But they are a defense first team. I know we had a couple of texters who were very high on Northern Kentucky, but that was a team that should not have been able to push Houston. They were in a tie game with like 9 minutes. I mean, it was tight. It was very tight. Marcus Sasser played, was not very good, sat the second half. He sat the second half, and it was it's not like they got up 20 and blew it. They actually played better with him out of the game. He had 5 points, 2 rebounds. Ben, the way Auburn played, and I know Iowa. By the way, Fran McCaffrey is another one. You know, he's been at Iowa for a while. He's been to like, I don't know, 13 tournaments or something like that. I can find the number here in a second. He's been a bunch of tournaments and has never made a second weekend at Iowa. Now, I'm not sure he should have made a second weekend more than maybe once or twice, but he's never done it. Yeah, this is his 11th tournament at Iowa. Never made a second weekend. Auburn, meanwhile, is 11-0. They've never lost an opening game in NCAA tournament ever in their history, which is unfathomable to me. I don't understand that. That, again, that's something else that does not compute in my brain. I think Auburn has a great chance to beat Houston. And I was already a little down on Houston because of Sasser, but they've got a couple other nagging injuries that they now have to recover in a day and go win that track meet with Auburn. Boy, they better walk the ball up the floor. Especially, like, Sasser's got it's a groin issue with him that's kind of popping up. Same as Brandon Miller. Groin issue. Didn't score for Alabama last night. I think you should be concerned about that if you're an Alabama fan or if you got Alabama winning the national championship or going anywhere. I've got Alabama playing in the national championship game. I don't love that Brandon Miller didn't score and didn't look right yesterday. I don't feel really good about the one seeds that I saw play yesterday. Truly, any of them. Even Kansas. It took them a little while against Howard, and they barely covered the spread at the end. We'll talk about this more on the other side. 654-ROAR is the number you want to call. You want to text the show on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. Hour two of the program continues after this.
M&J Auto Parts is your local independent auto parts warehouse. If you have an import, domestic, or slingshot vehicle, we have the parts you need. With over 100 years of staff experience, we'll get you back on the road quickly and affordably. We have also partnered with Jasper Engines and Carrier Rough Country Off-Roading Parts. All parts carry a national warranty, so if a part fails, you are covered. Visit our warehouse, 106 West Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greer, or call us at 864-469-9389. We are here to help you. M&J Auto Parts.
I'm Eddie Bennett. Bennett Equipment has helped build the upstate for the last 23 years by renting and selling construction equipment. And when it comes to compact equipment, the best in the industry is Takeuchi. a lineup of track skid steer loaders, excavators, wheel loaders, and hundreds of attachments make the choice easy. So come and see why so many choose to buy it or rent it from Bennett and experience the Takeuchi difference in the upstate, western North Carolina, and North Georgia.
Come home to Clemson. While the students are on spring break, join the Clemson Alumni Association for the second annual Alumni Spring Break. Beginning Friday, March 24th, join fellow alumni and friends for fun, campus tours, golf, and live music at Clemson's Alumni Spring Break. You walked across campus during your years as a student, but you won't believe how much it's changed. See the growth around campus with various campus tours, walk inside both new and historic facilities. Head downtown Friday night to a closed College Avenue, playing host to a concert and block party beginning with a Clemson fave, Craven Melon, and then the legendary Driving and Crying. Take part in the alumni golf gathering at the Walker Course and spend time on campus and in town like you did as a student. The second annual Clemson Alumni Spring Break, beginning Friday, March 24th at your home away from home, Clemson. For registration information, go to alumni.clemson.edu/alumni-spring-break. That's alumni.clemson.edu/alumni-spring-break. Alumni Spring Break, starting Friday, March 24th. Go Tigers!
Carolina Direct Furniture, passing savings directly to their customers. Don't let Carolina Direct's warehouse fool you. It's stocked and ready for you. Bedroom, dining, sofas, rugs, lamps, mattresses, and more. They are a locally owned family store that operates with a low overhead to present you with the savings you deserve. Find them in Greer, where Pelham and Highway 14 connect, and they will connect you with the furniture and mattresses of your dreams. Check them out online at carolinadirect.com. Mention the Roar for an extra 5% discount.
Hey, Anderson, if you're looking for a great place to work, Glen Raven is hiring. The maker of high-quality, world-famous Sunbrella products is looking for process operators, process technicians, quality inspectors, and material handlers. Now, they're seeking experienced pros, and they're also willing to train candidates who are new to manufacturing. So check out all the opportunities. Glen Raven offers a very competitive hourly rate, plus you'll get a $1,500 sign-on bonus. That's right, you'll get a $1,500 sign-on bonus. So apply today. You'll also enjoy generous benefits, including paid vacation and holidays, 401k matching, a pension program, free on-site medical care, a 24/7 fitness center, and more. It's an established company with an exciting future, so don't wait. Apply now at join.sunbrella.com. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Apply today at join.sunbrella.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
The Upstate Sports Authority.
This is incredible.
We are 105.5 and 97.5.
Give him a lot of credit. He got that left arm underneath the ball.
Where every day is game day. We are the Roar.
The bar, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling. Something bad about to happen.
All right, we got three games ongoing here. Michigan State and USC. Tom Izzo, I'm looking at this. I don't know what happened. He talked to an official. He came over and he snapped a dry erase board in half. So he's not happy about something. And I guess maybe he's just working on, maybe they're working on their half court sets. I don't know. Maybe he's not trying to press this game. I don't know. Maybe he only needed half the board. But that looked like an angry guy.
As an angry guy. Would an official give you a technical if he saw you do that?
You know, I'm not sure. I think if an official gave you a technical foul, I think the loss of your dry erase board is actually, I think that's actually punishment enough, if you want to know the truth. Michigan State is up 4 on USC, 53-49, with 10:50 to go in the game. Baylor leads UC Santa Barbara 14-11 with 11.5 minutes to go in the first half as well. And the third game that is ongoing that is at half, Kennesaw State with a 43-36 lead over Xavier. A couple things that I think are interesting to note in this game. Xavier just 1 of 7 from three. Now they're scoring in the paint. They got 22 points in the paint. Xavier, though, has missed 14 shots. They have 0 offensive rebounds. 0. They're 9 of 13 from the foul line. If they weren't making free throws, they'd be getting run out of the gym right now. And they're still down 7. Consequently, Kennesaw State also just 4 of 8 from the line. Has not shot free throws well. This season. So, 3 good games here in this early window. We did not give this out before the game. I did put it on Twitter beforehand. I like UCSB plus 10.5 in this game. I don't love how Baylor guards been. I don't. I'm not sure UCSB can win. This is Joe Pasternak, who has a good reputation in the basketball community. Former Bob Knight manager, which that feels like a before and after on Wheel of Fortune, a Bob Knight manager. Anyway, the night manager, whatever. But we both like UCSB plus the points here. Honestly, most times, if I'm getting double digits in a non-116 game, I'm probably going to take it.
I don't know whether or not to trust Baylor or not. I'm opting not to, since they've lost 4 out of their last 6. I mean, they had a really good season up until they played Kansas. And then it was lost to Kansas, lost at Kansas State, which, I mean, most people are losing both of those games, especially on the road. Then you beat Texas, beat Oklahoma State, and then lost back-to-back to Iowa State.
In our contest, 3.6% of entries have Kennesaw State, and 3.6% of entries have UC Santa Barbara. Those two games would absolutely break over 96% of brackets. And some of those, I'm sure, probably a handful, the same person would maybe win both, but not many. Not many are going to go 2-0 in those. Not many are going to take both of those chances with UCSB and with Kennesaw. The fourth game today is VCU and St. Mary's. Almost 61% of our brackets in the Roar Bracket Challenge picked St. Mary's. Ben, I'm taking the 4 points. I think VCU can speed them up. St. Mary's is a little bit of an interesting breed to me. It's a little like Virginia and San Diego State in that they need to play a slow game. VCU, the only issue I have is if they put St. Mary's on the line a bunch, they do tend to foul, but this is a team that will trap and press and run, and if they make this game a track meet, I think they can win it. I think St. Mary's a little vulnerable. So I am, in fact, taking VCU plus the 4 in this matchup for $25. I feel pretty good about it.
And I am taking St. Mary's minus the 4. I am high on St. Mary's. I don't think there's very much difference between them and Gonzaga. The only difference is you're not as familiar with the name.
That's a good point.
I think
point.
They're very similar teams.
Well, St. Mary's.
And they split.
They were the number 1 seed in the West Coast Conference Tournament. And now Gonzaga ran them off the floor, and so people forget that. But St. Mary's was the team that had the better season. Vermont and Marquette are scheduled to go at 2:45. That's probably not going to happen at this point because they got to go after USC and Michigan State. What's your level of concern for Marquette here, Ben?
0.2.
Okay.
Very low.
I think Marquette is good enough.
I've heard a lot of people concerned about this one, though. I don't buy that. I like Marquette a lot.
I like Marquette, too. In fact, I thought about putting Marquette in the Final Four. Here's where the game's going to be won. It's going to be won on turnovers and possessions. Vermont does not turn the ball over. They do not force turnovers. Marquette does not turn the ball over. They do force turnovers. If Marquette forces Vermont to turn the ball over, they'll win. If not, if Vermont's getting a bunch of shots up, they can make threes. Marquette is not very good. They give up about 35% from three, and Vermont is a top 75 team from three in the country. Vermont also does not have any interior defense to speak of, and that's going to be a problem because Marquette is very, very good at getting to the rim, and they will finish at the rim when they get there. So I agree. There have been a lot of folks talking about Vermont. I just don't love the matchup for Vermont. Not going to give out a spread pick on that one, but the matchup's not great. Next up, Pittsburgh, Iowa State. Ben, you know my thoughts on Pittsburgh. This is a 3:10 game today on True TV. You know my thoughts on Pitt. They beat Mississippi State because Mississippi State can't and won't score ever in a gym. But Iowa State, to me, is a different level. I'm taking Iowa State -4.5 here for $25. I just think Iowa State's going to win by like 8 to 12. I don't think Pitt has answers for them inside. Iowa State, I think, is second in the country in two-point defense. They're very, very good at interior defense. And I don't know that Pitt, they've got shooters, but I don't know that they can stand around and shoot threes without that mid-range game, and I'm not sure Iowa State's going to give it to them.
I'm undecided on this game, but I'm actually leading Pitt, and here's why. I think Pitt is better than 11. No, from a seeding standpoint, to me, Pitt is better than an 11, and Iowa State's not as good as a 6. So I think they're both closer together from that standpoint. I do think Pitt has answers inside. Now, is Federico playing?
I have not heard. That would be a huge boost for Pittsburgh.
They will need him against Iowa State. So I do need to check on that before I make a pick on that one. You also have the twins who are very tall, but they're not physical at all. They're paper thin at this particular time. I mean, so they have length. They just don't have the size to go with that length. But Pitt is a problem though for teams. I mean, they are kind of blue collar in how they go about things. You've got great guard play, and then what the big guy Henson.
Yeah.
Who is undersized, but he plays like a 6'11 guy because he weighs like a 6'11 guy.
Oh, yeah, he's massive.
So I'm undecided about this one. I don't five points is right in that tough spot. Let me think about that one.
The other thing that Brett pointed out about this game is the personal nature of it for Henson because he was at Iowa State, and I didn't even think about that.
Mm.
That could be an X factor here. The next game is...
Okay, look, I am going to make a decision on
okay.
this. Pitt is very much like West Virginia. In a lot of ways, they're a lot like West Virginia, who just beat Iowa State a week ago.
Okay. So you're taking those points.
I think I'll take those points.
Okay. I like it. I like your conviction there. That's good. I like that we can go from... not convicted to convicted in a matter of moments. One of the strengths of Out of Bounds, I would say. The next game, 4:00, NC State Creighton. I've already talked about this game. I think Creighton plays a lot like Clemson, except Kalkbrenner is a true post that's going to really bother DJ Burns. And they don't, much like Clemson, they don't try to turn you over. They try to contest your shots. And I think if NC State is taking contested twos, they're going to miss them, and they're not going to be able to stop Creighton. They won't stop Kalkbrenner inside. Kalkbrenner doesn't get in foul trouble, so it's not like you can take him out of the game. He's going to play 30 minutes, probably 28 to 30 minutes, and Shireman is an elite player, and Nimhardt is an elite player. They just have great offensive skill. I think Creighton wins the game by 15+. And so I'm taking Creighton -5. That's other than Michigan State, where I'm adding the body clock element. This is my favorite play today is Creighton -5 over NC State. Elsewhere, Iona, Connecticut, 4:30. How about Rick Pitino against Connecticut? What a ridiculous matchup that is. I love seeing this on the bracket right here because I think UConn, I think the spread's like 9.5 or 10. To me, UConn is the kind of team that because of their size, they can really bother Iona. If this becomes a guard game, though, Iona, they're defensively, they're going to get deflections. They're a classic Pitino team. Terrence Oglesby called one of their games, and I watched them. And they're a team that wants to get out in passing lanes and frustrate. The problem is that I think UConn could throw it over the top. They've just got too many bigs, too many answers there. And so I like UConn in this game, but I'm a little leery about that number being around 10. Fairleigh Dickinson and Purdue. You know what? I'm laying these points. I like Purdue to dominate this. Fairleigh Dickinson is an atrocious defensive team with no true big. I think Zach Edey is going to destroy them. It's going to be like Gulliver and the Lilliputians. That's your literary reference of the day.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Bingo.
Yep. So give me Purdue minus 23.5 in this game. I love it. Do you have any thoughts on any spread picks at all on those, on the NC State, Creighton, Iona, UConn, or Fairleigh Dickinson and Purdue?
I have, you know, I'm trying to write these down as fast as you're giving them out.
Yes.
And I'm not there yet.
I'm going very fast.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say before we get a break, I was actually going to, what were you going to say? I was going to shift gears before we go.
Well, I was too.
Okay.
Reminder that the baseball game today has been postponed till tomorrow. So the Clemson-Duke game scheduled for 6 tonight. Move to tomorrow, doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock, 12:30 pregame here. And then game 2 will be 1 hour after the conclusion of game 1. They'll clear the stadium, so your tickets will match up with the game number. Friday games first, Saturday game, and then Sunday still scheduled as scheduled, which I believe is a 1 o'clock first pitch there. So you can catch all those here on The Roar. The good news, there's always the silver lining, Quok. The silver lining is you get a full 4 hours of Road Rage today instead of an abbreviated version. So you'll get Walt up until 7. And happy birthday to Mr. Deptula.
Oh, today. Happy so birthday.
Make sure you call and wish the young man a happy birthday. He and Mickey share a birthday.
Mickey's, I did not realize that.
Yeah, Mickey turned double nickel this morning. And so I heard that and then was reminded that he and Walt share a birthday. Yeah, me and Brad share a birthday too.
That's right.
How weird is that? I mean, out of 8 of us, 4 of us have birthdays shared by somebody else.
That's just odd. Very odd.
We're an odd bunch.
We really are an odd bunch. Here's where we are in terms of scores. 60-51, Michigan State over USC. 6 minutes to go in a game. Kennesaw now up 11, 49-38 with 16.5 to go.
Let's go!
UCSB and Baylor tied at 22 with 6:50 to go in the first half. VCU St. Mary's starting momentarily. Great action in March Madness. We'll keep you updated and talk about some other nonsense in hour 3.
WCCP-FM 105.5.